06.
In SCR chapter 22. And we have a presenter, Keith Saline, and a large number of other appearances that we'll hear in order. Mr. Saline.
Good morning, Chief Justice and Justices. My name is Keith Saline, the Director of the Office of Lawyer Regulation. It's good to see you this morning. The petition that I have brought to you relates to time limits in interim suspension cases, and you should have a copy of the petition and the justification that I wrote as part of it for you. I just wanted to take 1 minute and outline for you the significant components of the petition. First of all, there are three kinds of interim suspensions that the court can order under Chapter 22. The first, a temporary suspension for non-cooperation, is not part of this petition. In those cases, there is not a significant due process interest at stake, because in our practice, we have an automatic immediate reinstatement upon the attorney's cooperation. And that's not part of this petition. The two that are relate to the summary suspension for criminal conviction and a temporary suspension for a threat to the public and the administration of justice. And the time limits I propose are as follows. For a summary suspension for criminal conviction, 3 months to file a complaint, 6 months for the referee thereafter to file the report. For an interim suspension for a threat to the public and the administration of justice, 6 months to file the complaint and another 6 months thereafter for the referee to file the report. The petition also provides for a reinstatement procedure under each provision. In the case where the director has not filed the complaint in a timely manner, the director would be required affirmatively to show cause why the suspension should continue. When a matter is pending before the referee and the time limit is not met, then the respondent would have an opportunity by rule to petition for reinstatement to the court as a remedy. And other than that, I would certainly want to answer the court's questions to the extent I'm able, but I have no other remarks.
Mr. Saline, are there any cases that you utilize to justify these changes as satisfying the requirements of due process? Obviously, you know that's the court's concern. Obviously,
yes.
It's your concern as well.
Well, it certainly is, Your Honor. Thank you. There are several cases in various jurisdictions, some of them state Supreme Court decisions and others decisions of either a federal district court or a court of appeals. And the guidance is not entirely clear. You'll note that there's a case out of the Eastern District of Pennsylvania called Gershenfeld, and I can provide citations or copies of cases, where the court was concerned about the due process before the suspension and then the timeliness of the ultimate hearing. And in that case, the court found that the procedures were not adequate and the rule was not adequate because the rule did not provide for a time limit for completing the underlying action. The state of California has a rule which provides for very short timelines, and they have been upheld by its Supreme Court. There's also...
What are short guidelines?
I'd have to go back to the rule, but I think it's 45 days to file the complaint, and I think that the underlying case must be... I'd have to look at that again to be sure. What it is, but it's several months. The state of Florida has some timelines, too, that it has upheld, its Supreme Court has upheld, and they provide for several months. And in my review of it, I was convinced that a year would be an adequate time in toto for the underlying matter to be concluded if the rule provided for that. And when I say that to you, Your Honor, what I'm saying is that I don't think that a federal court would find the rule unconstitutional on its face. And that would be really the first step that I would expect the analysis to go. A federal court might, even if the rule is complied with in a particular case, find that there was a lack of due process when it balanced the interests of the public against the due process interests of the respondent attorney in a particular case. So there could be some issues even when a rule would be complied with.
Thank you.
I can see the 3 months and 3 months, and I also understand if it's a conviction, it's just an easier filing of a complaint. In fact, I think a couple of months there would be enough. I mean, you've got the conviction, and that's it. It's a legal issue. And then to get the referee to do it all within 2 to 3 months is also quite reasonable. I don't understand the 6 months for an investigation. It seems to me that that might be an ordinary time in your ordinary course of events, but that it is not when somebody is suspended. And I don't see why we can't have a 3 months and 3 months. I mean, I think this should just be expedited.
I agree that they ought to be expedited, and I would have no objection if the court thought 3 months was the right time limit to use. My reason for making a distinction for 6 months in that case was because when you have cases involving threats to the public and the interest of justice, those are the most difficult ones to actually put together. I think when you have that kind of activity going on, what you also have going on is a respondent who's really not, although cooperating, I suppose, in fact, is really not cooperating in effect. And it's very difficult to understand what the facts are. The facts that you receive during the investigation are almost always incorrect, and then you're in a position of having to prove they're incorrect. And I think you get into a situation where you're going to be rushed to do a good job. And that's the reason why I made a distinction there. If we had a shorter timeline, there's really no problem with having a shorter timeline. The result of that is practically that the actual motion from my office would not come until I was confident I was within that whatever timeline the court would set.
Yeah. I'm thinking that 2 and 2 for the conviction and 4 and 4. Can you live with that?
Yes.
That may not be what the court wants, but I mean, that's just my sense.
Yes, of course, yeah. I mean, whatever the court thinks is a reasonable time is certainly what we will do, and we will be happy to do.
Mr. Saleen, if I could, because
yes,
I may have been a little bit confused by the Chief's question. My understanding of your initial recommendation was not 3 and 3, it was 3 and 6. Is that correct? 3 months to file the complaint, 6 months to do the report?
I may not have been clear in response to that. I understood the Chief's question, but I would probably do better just to explain how I laid it out.
Would you please? Thank you.
For the director to file a complaint where there's a conviction and a summary suspension for a conviction, it would be 3 months to file the complaint and then 6 months for the referee.
So and 6 months after the filing of the complaint.
That's correct, Your Honor. In the case where it's a temporary suspension for a threat to the public and the administration of justice, there would be a six-month period to file the complaint and a six-month period to for the referee to complete the report. The 3 and 6 is my office would have 3 months in the case of a summary suspension for conviction and 6 months in the case where there's a temporary suspension for a threat to the public.
And the Chief's proposal would be in that conviction setting 2 months to file the complaint and
right.
2 months to file the report. Now,
referee.
Did you understand her question to mean that?
Yes.
And you can live with that?
I can live with that.
Okay.
I'm speaking for the referees, but I mean, if the conviction is in, it doesn't take long for me to draft a complaint and get it in.
And it shouldn't take long for the referee to make a decision whether that criminal matter is one that fits within that rule or whether there are mitigating circumstances.
I would say in a normal case, Your Honor, that I think that's pretty reasonable. But again, we're looking again at service of process. We're looking again at scheduling conferences and having a hearing and then writing a report. And I think the referee gets this completely fresh and doesn't have any control over the timelines at all other than to get it done. So it could be more difficult for the referee than for my office.
Yeah, you say you can live with it. My question is that does your experience tell you that you need more time, that more time would be who is being harmed if we were to give, say, another 30 days? Is there harm to the public?
Sure. This is a situation, as I understand it, Your Honor, where these interests are in direct adverse relationship to each other. I can only move to satisfy one by moving against the other. And the reason I'm willing to be quite flexible and can be quite flexible is because I can control when the motion is filed. My colleagues in other states have all kinds of rules. Most of them are just like our current rule, and they don't provide for these time limits, and they've never really been challenged. But the practice there, as was the practice under the BAPR board's era, was just not to file it until they were ready to file the complaint. And so what the result of that is really just pushing aside the public interest in these cases until we get our work done and we're ready to go. And that is the coping strategy that I would be left with if the time frame is short. And it's a little bit more difficult for the referee, as I mentioned. There are other states that have very detailed rules, and I could provide you, if you wanted, the rule from Indiana, California, and Florida. And they have very detailed procedures and rights. My colleague from Indiana has told me, quite frankly, we don't use it. We don't file them either, because for us to go through this process is too cumbersome, and it's just too difficult to do in practice. So the real solution to the problem is for us to prioritize, is for us to be resourced to handle these significant cases when they come. And I think now that our caseload is under control, I think we're in a much better posture to do that in the future than we were when we started in 2000.
In terms of the criminal convictions, Mr. Sleen, how often are those contested?
They are contested in a small percentage of the cases, probably 1 in 4. And the issue is whether it reflects adversely on a person's fitness to practice. But they're contested more frequently in terms of the length of the ultimate sanction that the court should impose. And that's not a factor that I think should cause the court to increase a timeline at all. There's adequate case law in Wisconsin. There's adequate case law throughout the country for a referee to look at and make a determination about a particular offense. And so I don't think that's a significant concern in terms of defining the time limit. I think just complying with the normal civil procedure rules and the normal referee's practices would be the issue with regard to these priority cases.
And so what's the minimum, considering service time and setting up the hearing?
I think for
it
a summary...
It just seems to me 6 months is too long.
I think it's reasonable in the case of a summary suspension for a conviction that 3 months with a referee is an adequate time.
Okay. And what about for the danger to the public?
I don't think 3 months is a reasonable time. I think
it's not.
I don't think it is. I think it is not an adequate time. I think 6 months is a very reasonable time. I think that really is pushing.
Is it for the referee?
With the referee. Because those cases are going to be detailed. They're going to involve more than one grievance in almost every case. And there are going to be issues of fraud that are going to be very difficult for the referee to ferret out. And I don't think it's good that the ultimate matter be rushed.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Sleen, will this rule kick in for any type of criminal conviction, or are there categories where this would apply?
Your Honor, it would only apply in the case where the court had issued a summary suspension based on a criminal conviction. That's the only time it would kick in.
But there's a qualifying phrase, isn't there? It isn't just a criminal conviction. It's a criminal conviction that is particularly... problematic in terms of the public.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It has to be a serious crime, as the court defines it in SCR 2220.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Remind me, if you will, what are some of the interest of public administration of justice cases? Because you're saying these will take 6 months of period. So just what ones are
these? These typically involve trust account fraud. They would involve other conflicts of interest where vulnerable people are being taken advantage of. Business transactions with clients would be a very good example. Fraud in other client property that would be going on. Conflicts of interest in corporate matters. There can be some difficult estate probate kinds of cases where there's a lot of detail in the numbers. There's a lot of detail in identifying and proving the motivations of the attorney in how property was handled or what transactions occurred. And so it is typically a more complex kind of case.
What I'm not understanding is this. You're dealing with a summary suspension. So if you need to do all of that, and that is difficult, why not just file the complaint. You want them temporarily suspended while it's going on. But the proof that's before the referee is the ultimate proof that you're going to need in order to get more than. I understand. It's the one hearing before the referee that you're talking about. Is that correct? The hearing on temporary suspension and the hearing on the ultimate discipline. Is that one or two hearings?
There's only one hearing in the entire process.
We do the temporary suspension.
The court does the temporary suspension after a show cause order.
I know, but by then, by coming to the court on a temporary suspension order, you have, I assume, done a great deal of investigation, and you may not be able to have enough evidence to prove clear and convincing.
Right.
But you sure have enough to say, hey, we got to yank this guy's license, and I'm sure you don't do it lightly, right?
That's correct.
So I think what Justice Bradley is driving at is by the time you come to the court with an order to show cause, you have, my assumption is, a great deal of the work already done on the investigation.
It may or may not be adequate. We have a great deal of the work done, and our concerns are certainly appropriate, and we do take it seriously. But we have not been through the preliminary review committee
right.
in many of these cases, and they have not reviewed it. We have probably not sent our final report to the respondent for comment or a response, and that's where the cases involving a threat to the public or the administration of justice get difficult because you don't have a criminal conviction. And there are a lot of positions, arguments, there's a lot of information that comes back at that point that we are not prepared to respond to. And in the case where I've struggled with this most, we would get back information that on its face would tend to exonerate the person, but then after you do more work and look behind it, you would learn that every piece of information you received was fraudulent. But now then I have to prove that if I go before the referee. I just can't conclude that. So it isn't something that we would necessarily be ready to present to a referee, but we have come to judgment that it's very, very serious and other people are going to be hurt.
The preliminary review committee won't handle the conviction.
They would not, that's correct, under this petition.
But would handle the temporary suspension one.
That's correct.
After the court suspends him temporarily.
That's correct, Your Honor. And it could be before or after, but it will have to go before the complaint is filed.
The temporary suspension for non-cooperation and these suspensions for a threat to the public interest or administration of justice, these sometimes overlap, don't they?
They may, very well. To the extent that we have willful non-cooperation, it's my practice to use that procedure because that's really what I need. I need the cooperation before I can sort out everything else. It also I think, is a good solution to reconcile the interests of the public and the respondent attorney because the reinstatement procedure is very prompt in those cases. And when the cooperation comes, as you know, our office is very prompt in informing the court, and the court is very prompt in reinstating the license based upon that information. So I think that's the best way to handle as many of these cases as possible.
I'm troubled by the year in the danger to the public circumstance. That's a year.
Right.
The guy is suspended. And that's only till the referee's report. Then it comes here, and here it might take 2, 3, 4, 5 months. Even if we move rapidly, it's going to take a couple of months. So a year and a couple of months for this person to be suspended on an order to show cause, I find that just long. Where can we cut it reasonably?
Well, I think you've proposed, there's really not a good answer to that question, Chief, because any movement of that timeline will have an adverse effect on the public in a case. There are some other things that could be done. You could establish a time limit thereafter once the court receives the referee's report. You could establish a timeline thereafter for the court to give it priority in its consideration. You could do that if you wanted.
It still leaves a year.
That still leaves a year plus, whatever timeline you would set. You could reduce the timeline for our office to file a complaint. That will cause me to be sure that I'm going to meet that time before I file the motion. The other thing that some states, there are two other things I've seen states do. Some states will have a hearing before the temporary suspension is issued. And that can provide some benefit. It doesn't resolve what is a distinct due process question, completion of the underlying matter. But I think it's something that could weigh in favor in the analysis of an overall case. The other thing that I've seen states do is to have exceptions for some of the standard processing requirements. New York, for example, when the interim suspension motion is brought and the court orders the suspension, the matter does not go to its review board, like our preliminary review committee. It would go directly to the referee. And then the complaint would be required to be filed.
Isn't that a good idea?
I think it's a good idea, but I think you're going to lose some time, although I think it may be more efficient overall. Yes, I think it is a good idea. But I think that you can then shorten the time for the filing of the complaint. But then I think that I would urge the court to not reduce the amount of time it's with the referee below 6 months, because then you're going to have an increased reliance on the discovery process.
Hypothetically. If the Office of Lawyer Regulation believes someone was an attorney was acting in contrary to the public interest, and the person really was innocent or not at fault, how would they try to accelerate the process of getting the license back?
Under this proposal, they could certainly cooperate with the investigation, and when a time limit, like the time limit for me to file a complaint, I would have to show cause. And so there would be an immediate opportunity to be reinstated. If it was with the referee, then the respondent could file a motion. There would be an additional burden after it's with the referee on the respondent to actually file a motion. But I think those are ways that are recognized to bring it to the court's attention.
Most of the time in these cases, would it be fair to say, these people are not cooperating. They're stonewalling. They're not giving you complete information. So it's a little hard to feel too sorry for them.
Well, when they...
We have to live above that a little bit, too. And we do. I mean, we take it very seriously. And it's not a decision that we're making lightly, nor does the court. And I didn't mention to you before, but there is an opportunity before suspension. It's some states have a very, very abbreviated suspension procedure. There's a motion, and there's an answer or a response, and that's it. Here we use a show cause where the respondent attorney is invited to provide whatever information the court should consider. And so it's not just a pleading that we're doing. It is a very meaningful opportunity to be heard, although it's not a personal hearing. So there really are some good protections and necessary protections in our rule already.
And if there's an answer to the order to show cause that really raises significant issues, I suppose the person can be heard here.
I think the court has inherent discretion to do that. I know that there have been requests, and I think it's reasonable.
Right here that you'd lose the order to show cause.
Absolutely.
Okay. Any other questions of Mr. Saleen?
Perhaps just a question about what you're not here on, and that is the temporary suspension for noncompliance.
Yes, right.
You indicated in your comments that you thought that was moving promptly, that was your word, that when you do get compliance, that you promptly notify the court with a motion, I think it is, to, is it revoke the temporary?
To reinstate, yes.
Reinstate. Mm-hmm. How long from the time that you get compliance does it take for you to get that motion to us generally? Any idea?
Within 2 or 3 days at the most.
Okay. And how long, so there's compliance and you've been really quick in getting it to the court. How long does it take for us to get it back to you?
I don't know for sure, but my sense is that it also happens within 2 or 3 days.
Okay, and if it would take like 4 weeks, does that make sense to you?
I think that's too long.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions of Mrs. Celine? Hearing none, do either of the two of you want to appear on this? No. Ms. Clark? No. Marshall? The hearing is closed. The rules petition 0406 is closed. The court will recess for a few moments, and everyone present in the courtroom is invited back to eat some of the goodies that the marshal has baked. It's her debt to the court, payment of the debt to the court. So we're adjourned, but you're all welcome back to have some coffee and goodies.